Yes, sir. It's your boy Kingpin, Big Drake, Main Men Radio Show. You know how we do. Man, we coming right back at you with that church clap. That was KB. You know, man, KB is one of my favorite artists. All right, so, man, if you missed the first episode, we talked a lot of college football. Go on back. Listen to the first episode. Come on back to episode number two, man. But we're going to keep it rolling with more college football. Man, so, Big Drake, did you know Baylor came into the game Saturday averaging nearly 70 points a game and over 700 yards of total offense, bro?
That's astronomical.
I know. I mean, dude, it's like, I mean, I had to check the stats. I was like, I thought RG3 left. So, Art Briles, I think, is the name of the head coach. Hey, dog, this man has some offense there to come in averaging what they've been averaging. And so, but Kansas State kept them in check. Baylor's only able to put up 35 points. That says a lot right there to say that somebody kept you in check. You were only able to get 35 points.
Well, I mean, and I'm very shocked that Kansas State was that team, considering who they lost to earlier in the year.
Hey, that's why in my Pick'ems League, so we do a Pick'ems League at work, when I got to that game, the only discussion I really had was, you know, do I pick 28 or 35? For the point spread. I was like, you know, this is the same Kansas State team I watched lose to South Dakota State. And I'd be doggone if they held these boys in check. So I didn't watch that game. So I'm not positive how they did it. I don't know if somebody broke their foot, leg, or arm or something. I would suspect that some freak of nature happened so that they was able to keep them boys in check. But they did. They held them to 35 points a game. And that quarterback wasn't even able to get – I think the quarterback, they've been – well, but you know what? When you put up 700 yards of offense, average 700 yards of offense, there's really no parts of your offense that doesn't work.
No, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Baylor is in – the Big 12, right?
They are. They're in there with the Texas and Oklahoma. Is Oklahoma State? Oklahoma, I think.
I think both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
Yeah. You very well may be right. I think it is both. Yeah. So I don't think they've played just lights out teams. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter if you're playing with Tonka Tech. To average 70 and close to 70 and 700 yards total offense is still a remarkable feat. Within the confines of the game.
Well, I'm curious to see how they look against Big 12 competition.
Yeah, I'm with you. And where was this Kansas State a sign of things to come? But you know, we've always discussed it's hard for me to watch any of Kansas State games because at any moment I am still waiting for that coach to die on the sidelines. So. I mean, it's tough for me to watch. Their coach is the oldest living man ever. Ever.
He's old.
Yeah. So man, like I said, they held him in check. One of the other games that was of interest was this Georgia-Missouri game, bro. And again, I told you, you know, my hatred has grown a little bit more since I'm in the state of Georgia, and all I see is black and red flags all around, everywhere over here.
Yeah.
But, brother, I'm actually feeling a little sorry for Georgia. I mean, they have no – I mean, and you can take this however you want to take this. Their starting running back is a white guy.
Oh, wow. You were there.
Big Drake, I mean, let's be real honest. When was the last trio starting running back you seen that was a white guy? Toby Gerhart?
Trey Smith.
Toby Gerhart. Yeah, so, you know, Trey Smith, Toby Gerhart. And Toby Gerhart was what? Mark Ingram's Heisman year? So that's been like 4 years ago?
No, it was before that.
No, because Toby Gerhart was the one when Mark Ingram won the Heisman, and he shouldn't have won the Heisman.
Yeah.
Because he was the only Alabama player that had – I mean, Alabama had never won one.
Yeah. It's funny. Once, and yeah, somebody might say I'm hating this Alabama fan. I don't care. Once the commentator said that, because it was a national televised game, whether it was ESPN, ABC, or CBS, once the commentator said that, I mean, it was just etched in stone.
That's it.
Alabama's going to have a Heisman Trophy winner.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it was like the president called in. So Alabama doesn't have a Heisman Trophy winner? Oh, we got to fix that.
Yeah.
And that's not taken away from Mark. Mark had a great season that season, but I have always
didn't have a Heisman Trophy caliber.
I have always contended that Toby Gerhart was one of the best players in the country that year.
I really thought Dominic and Sue was going to win it.
I did too.
That same year.
Yeah. You're right. Well, I just didn't. The hatred against people I have for defensive players, unless they play offense as well. So
yeah.
they only pick a defense player that plays offense as well. But Georgia is they just so freaking beat up. Gurley still didn't play. And I watched some of this game, and this was that game I turned on, and as I'm watching it, I think I watched it. It was tied, or they were up by 7 or something like that. And the more I watched it, Missouri was playing with such confidence. And I can see in Missouri's eyes almost that you're going to learn to respect me.
Yeah.
And when I seen that, I was like, Georgia probably in trouble. I was just like, this may not end well, because it looked like these boys are out to prove something, and they're going to do it on your back. And that's what Missouri did, man. Now, the negative part to that is they lost their quarterback for the rest of the season, for the rest of the regular season. Franklin.
I think that's probably going to be the kicker in everything. And, you know, you never know what can happen. They might have a guy sitting back there that's just waiting for his chance to start, kind of like at Florida.
Driscoll went out,
yeah,
and then his other quarterback, Murphy, come in, you're like, where's this guy been the whole time? Yeah. Why have he not been playing? Yeah, yeah.
They might have that, but I doubt it. So, once I figured out, it's not like this is a math problem, like I figured it out. Once I saw that Georgia had gotten beaten, I was thinking like, man, you know, Missouri kind of holds their own destiny here in the East here. I'm kind of curious to how they match up against other, what you would consider good quality caliber teams, because the first 5 games they play has been all fluff games. It has been.
That's right.
Every game, the first 5 games have been fluff games. And on my sheet, I did pick Vandy to beat Missouri, considering how bad they were last year. And the James Franklin, the coach, was doing so much better and getting them boys inspired. So I thought that they were going to beat them. And once that didn't happen, and the Humidor said something to me the other day. I think he might have said it on the show. I don't know. But, you know, Vandy's still Vandy. No matter, you know, everybody want to, oh, James Franklin's doing a great job. He is doing a great job because it's Vandy. Vandy's Vandy. And both them schools in Mississippi, still both them schools from Mississippi.
Who goes there? That's still, you're right. It's still Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, and people want to go ahead, oh, this Mississippi State going to have a good year. Ole Miss going to have a good year. They beat such and such. And they still Ole Miss. I mean, I can think about when I was on the team, really forever. Now, last year, Ole Miss didn't beat us. Everybody beat us last year. But overall, as a consensus, I mean, it's Ole Miss. It's Mississippi State. It's Vandy. You know what I mean? So I did want to see Missouri play your Georgias. And once I saw that they won, I'm like, oh, man, this is going to mix up the SEC a little bit. You know, we're all talking about Alabama and LSU and whoever. Just what else? Missouri wins out, goes to the SEC game, wins that, and Missouri is in the national championship game representing the SEC. It's not impossible. But then, once I went to the Humidor's house, he was like, oh, yeah, Missouri, because I was asking him about the game. Yeah, they won, but the quarterback's out for the rest of the year. I'm like,
Separated shoulder. Yeah. That. And they play Florida next week.
is.
Yeah. So, yeah, about that. So, but, I mean, hey, Georgia's starting a white boy court at running back. So,
I didn't even see that. So, I didn't get to see the game, but that is.
Yeah,
that's something. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and again, you know, hey, my non-African American listeners, don't take offense to this. Again, it's I'm just talking football. The semantics of football, if I turned on a hockey game and I see 2, 3, 7 black players on there, you know, you'd be free to be able to say, oh yeah, they got some black players on the team, and I'd be just as shocked.
Black
players on the hockey team. But that's, I mean, when I flipped, and it happened when Marshall went out. So when Marshall went out, and then I seen that they said, oh, they're bringing in a red shirt freshman. He's a true freshman. And then when I looked and seen who he was, I said, oh, now let me add this to it. He's a decent little player. But you see, how I did that. See, how I trivialized him by saying a little player. he's a decent little player. Yeah, he's a decent little player. Brandon Douglas, decent little player. 5'11", 202. He's a white dude playing running back in the SEC. Nonetheless, you know, and if I asked you that question, when was the last dominating running back, white running back, you seen play in the SEC?
1950.
That's right. Yeah, before they allowed blacks to play. So I mean,
when we was at the game, they honored the 1963 team. I think it was.
Uh huh.
They showing highlights and. You know, these guys got canes. They're walking out on the field, and they're honoring them. So they say each of the players' names and all that. Of course, me being me, I turn to Eric. I'm like, you know, that's when they didn't let us play then.
That's why there's none of us on the field.
Not a one. we couldn't play SEC ball then.
That's what I say. Yeah, we were playing for Tuskegee that year.
Yeah. Alabama State, Alabama A&M, Grambling, Southern, FAMU, Savannah State, Howard. I can go on and on.
North State. Bethune, Cookman, all those.
That's
what we was playing ball that day.
So. Yep. And did pretty well. That's when the HB, I don't want to get back on this kick, but okay, whatever. That was the only time when the HBCUs really had good competitive football being played.
Hey, and now again, so for some of our listeners that graduated from HBCUs, that was one of the discussions that was had with me after we went in on the HBCUs. And he said, we were talking something to the effect, but, you know, hey, our best players stopped coming to the schools that allowed them to play back then.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what happened. Our best players start going to the school that was going to get them the best money at the next level.
Yeah.
And that was going to pay for their services as well.
And the best facilities. I mean, it's sad to say, but. I mean, you have a group of people who had to start from slavery. And that's just, it is what it is. We had to start from slavery. So can you imagine, you know, when Howard University was founded and just the lack of resources they had?
Oh, yeah. They only had what somebody gave them.
Yes.
And that was probably leftovers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we got some helmets left. Y'all could get these.
I don't get dumb. Now, this one cracked down the middle, and it's in 10 pieces, but you probably could super glue it together. And then my question would be, would you give your mama a broken helmet to play football in?
Yes. If she was black, yes.
If she was black, I would.
That's what they say. If she was black. All right. So, Michigan got knocked off by Notre Dame. I picked this one.
No, by Penn State.
I'm sorry, I said Notre Dame, didn't it?
Yeah.
I picked this one. You know what my rationale was at the office?
Uh-huh. What's that?
They have a D tackle playing quarterback. There's no way they can beat Penn State.
But you know, Michigan has struggled throughout the year. Everybody they played. Everybody.
Unimpressive. I would like to see Michigan play Louisville and see if either one of them could impress me after playing each other, because they have been very unimpressive.
You know, Akron almost beat them. And then once you really look at the big picture, I don't think Akron's won a doggone game.
No, well, hold on. No, I ain't going to say that. Well, you know, you're right. They won one. They're 1-6.
Yeah, see, they won no games. But they almost beat Michigan.
That's right.
At Michigan.
I mean, and it's one of them games like we referred to last year's Utah, a year before last Utah State. We won the game, but no, we didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we was just up at the end of the fourth quarter, but we lost that game. Michigan lost to Akron. They was up at the end of the fourth quarter, but Michigan lost to Akron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Akron did beat them. But you're right, man. And again, it attributes to the fact that they have a defensive tackle playing quarterback. I've never seen a place and an opportunity where that could win football games, and I don't understand why they don't get this and why they don't get that dude out of that number. Can you put him in either one or the other? Put him in 8 or 9, but not both.
Yeah.
Why don't you let two people wear the number? How about you put somebody else in the 9 and one in the 8 and just say you're represented that way? But so I picked
you know what my question would be?
Would you make your mama wear number 98?
Would you make your mama wear number 98?
I don't care who is honoring. Would you make your mama wear number 98?
And play quarterback. Now, she was a D tackle. Then, okay.
That's right.
If your mama was a quarterback, would you make her wear 98?
And like I said, they answer very well may be yes.
Now, I was watching. I think I was watching the highlights over at the Humidor's house, and I know Michigan had like a blocked field goal, and either he had a blocked field goal or he missed the field goal after Penn State had fumbled, and all they had to do was get the field goal to win the game. I guess the head coach's name is Brady Hoke.
Yeah, Brady Hoke.
I mean, he had that. I mean, even though they were undefeated, I'm thinking if I'm the president of Michigan, or the athletic director, even though that we are undefeated, and yeah, Michigan beat Notre Dame, but as big as a Notre Dame fan I am, I keep it real, Notre Dame ain't the same team they had last year. So, I mean, that's really like beating nobody. So, if I'm the AD or the president, I'm going to Brady Hoke and be like, dude, you might want to step it up, because every single game this year has been close, even against the so-called fluff people. And just looking and reading his body language, I'm thinking that conversation has taken place. And once the guy, I can't recall, I don't know if he missed it or had the field goal blocked, he had that look on his face like, I'm about to lose my damn job. And sometimes I wonder about that, because it goes back to a couple conversations that we had on the previous shows. When you're the head coach, even when the storm is coming, you got to act fearless and show fearless and be like, hey, that's okay, we're going to get it next time, and pump your team up or do whatever it is you need to do to be a so-called leader.
Yeah.
But he on his face had like, oh, Lord, he just missed. I'm going to get fired and we're going to lose. And you know how I am when it comes to positive and negative behaviors and attitudes and reinforcements and all that negative energy. I think because of his negative attitude and negative energy, it trickled down to his team.
And everybody felt the fact that, oh, yeah, we're going to lose.
They felt, oh, Lord, we going to lose now.
Okay, Coach, you over there crying. No, we're going to get knocked out.
Sucking on the bottle.
Why is Coach crying? I don't know, man. What's going on? I guess we're going to lose.
I guess we're going to lose, man.
Wait, is it just me? Brady Hoke looks like this big, he looks like a big alcoholic.
he looked like the mayor or governor of New Jersey. The mayor. The
he
mayor
does. That is who he looks like.
That's exactly who he looks like. Looks like they both travel the world in pie eating contests.
And go against each other?
Go against each other. That's what they look like.
I ate too, bro. What you got today?
Yeah.
All right, man. So Bama took on Kentucky. I watched some of this game. Bama, the offense got cranking. It took a little while though, because if I'm not mistaken, I think going either into the halftime, this was still a really close football game.
Yeah, I want to say it was only like 10-0.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm thinking it was. If it was double digits, it was right there at it. I mean, it was real, real close. Then, of course, Bama's offense came alive in the second half. But man, Bama has to stop playing with these teams, man.
Well, I just think there's mistakes that they're making. I think I did some of that game because I was over at the Humidor's house, and it looked like that they were driving the ball pretty easily. They were doing what they wanted. And then once, for whatever reason, once they got in the red zone or even on the goal line, they started turning the ball over and fumbling.
Okay, yeah, when I turned on to the game, I did hear them talk about that. So you're right. And it looks like no. It was just close after the first quarter and into the start of the second, because Bama put up 24 points in the second quarter.
Oh, okay.
So they blew it open in the second quarter. But, yeah, you're right. I did hear them talk about that, it started out kind of – Bama kept starting turning over. And it looks like they didn't score until 9 minutes left in the third quarter. Well, they kicked the field goal at 13. 9 minutes left in the third quarter. Then it kind of went – they went in on them boys.
After that, to
start putting in that work. But they had T.J. Yeldon and Kenyon Drake both had two rushing touchdowns. So A.J. McCarron threw for 359 yards. Yeldon finished with 124. Drake finished with 106. I want to see the man child play football, and I've yet to see him really take the field. Derrick Henry. This that kid that's about six. He a true freshman, like 6'3", 240, that play running back.
Oh, he played.
Oh, did he play Saturday?
Yeah, he played. Okay. At the end.
Okay. So did they put the quarterback in? Did they change quarterbacks in at the end as well?
Yes, the black quarterback played.
All right. So so after our discussion last week, I went back and I thought about this thing. I said, okay, next year will have their opportunity to prove me wrong. Next year should have the opportunity to prove me wrong. Because last week playing Georgia State, the black quarterback played. He played the second half. He played really, really well. Everybody talked about how well he played. There should be, and he's a sophomore. So next year he'll be a junior, or he's a redshirt freshman. Nonetheless, he's been there 2 years. The person behind him has been there 1 year. So, true to form, there should be no reason why this black quarterback who, when he has played really well, should go into the season as the starter.
Correct.
So, that's all I'm going to say. Did Humidor say something when he went in the game? I'm going to have to holler at him when I get there.
Yeah, he said
13th, and we. I knew so came out. So next year's the year, Bama fans. Hopefully, y'all get a chance to prove me wrong. I would love to see this happen. I still don't think it happened. So for some reason, y'all gonna recruit Jesus or somebody to play quarterback, and all of a sudden he gonna be watching over his shoulder, and something gonna happen. He gonna break a leg or something. I don't know. So there'll be a reason. All right, so Big Drake, man, we got to talk a little bit about our Auburn game. We played – well, we didn't play anybody. We played Western Carolina Trade School. Who was that? Who did we play? Who was that team?
West Carolina.
Okay. So did they bring fans? Being in the stadium, did you see any fans?
Because it was the homecoming. It was our homecoming.
Okay.
We had the the alumni band there.
Ah.
And they did have a few cheerleaders.
Okay.
They may have had a sprinkle of fans here and there.
Just some parents.
Maybe. I mean, you know, and one thing I say, our guest section, if you want to call it that, our away section, we give those people pretty good seats. I mean, you're in a spot where you get to see your child. I mean, if you're there watching a child, I mean, you can see them. And I'm going to say it. We don't treat our guests like Alabama treat their guests. They're way up there in the nosebleed. That's ridiculous. You know, somebody come, you know, away to watch whatever, and they up there in section 9,000.
I would like, if there's any other fans other than Alabama and Auburn fans that listen to our show, hey, email us, kingpin@mademan.com, bigdrake@mademan.com. If you know where the visitor section is in your respective school, email us and let us know. Is it a decent seat? Because I'm with Big Drake. I didn't think about that until you just said something. I didn't even think about Bama until you just said something, because they do. Yeah. You are in the upper deck, I think, on the left-hand side or something. Now, somebody's going to tell me that, no, they got some seats down here. Yeah, if I can't tell it's a visitor section, then that's not a visitor section. Somebody bought some seats down low is what that is. So,
They are
in that top of thing. But ours is always, if I'm not mistaken, it's in one of the corners over there by the game clock, ain't it?
It's the corner with the visiting team. It's the corner, and it trickles on to maybe about the 20-yard line.
Okay.
So you have the corner of the end zone to about the 20-yard line.
Out of the huddle where the visiting team come out of.
It's the visiting team come out. So you're there with your team. You can cheer them. Your band is usually right there. I mean,
and when you win on our field, your players go, because it's field level, and you go to that stand and cheer with your fans.
Yes, it's right there.
Yep. Okay. Hey, I know we picked up a couple of listeners over the weekend. Big shout out to one of my homeboys from work, C. Dix. Hope you listen frequently now. He's a South Carolina fan. T. Aiken is a South Carolina fan. Hey, y'all boys email us and let us know where the visiting fan section is in your stadium. And Alabama fans, if we're wrong, please email me and let me know. I don't think I am, but email us and let us know. Because that's an interesting question, where we put folks. So we they didn't have any, because you didn't see them even on the sidelines.
No, they didn't have any.
Which, again, playing Western Carolina, unless it's my child, and then even then, it depends upon what I got going on that weekend. But, I mean, I probably wouldn't come see you play either. I mean,
The only way I would have gone see Western Carolina play is if I was alumni and I just happened to live in Auburn.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go see my alma mater get drilled.
Wait, I said, would you wear your gear?
I would, man. I wear my gear. I wear it proud. And the one thing I really enjoyed about this sound bad, but I enjoyed how bad we beat them, because even in the past, with teams that we should have beaten, we didn't necessarily beat them the way we just beat them.
Yeah.
It'd be 35-21.
Big Drake, you got to petition the old Drake. What was your phrase back in the day?
Blow them out.
Leave
no doubt. I can't hear
no
doubt. Leave no doubt.
That's what we've been waiting on Louisville to do. That's exactly my point right there. We have been waiting on Louisville to blow them out and leave no doubt. And they have yet to come through with blowing anybody out, and they've definitely left a whole lot of doubt. But I'm with you. Auburn, sterile, sterile. So you were in the stadium. Tell me, how was the presence of the game with Jermaine Johnson starting at quarterback? Nick Marshall got hurt last week against Ole Miss. I think he tweaked that knee. I'm not sure how bad it is, but he tweaked his knee. How was it with Jeremy Marshall? I mean, Jeremy, I'm making a new player. It's Jeremy Marshall.
You're trying to combine both of them together.
Oh, would that be awesome? Would that not be awesome if we could combine both of them? With you seeing Jeremy Johnson play, would that not be awesome if we could combine both of them boys together and make one super player? But
if we could take – we keep Jeremy Johnson's frame, his size.
And his arm.
His smartness.
Yeah, intelligence. His hey, that didn't look good that you referenced smartness and you should have said intelligence. What is smart?
Can you not have smartness?
Can you have smartness? Huh. Is there such thing as smartness or is intelligence smartness?
Email us.
I'll
ask you for it. Let me know if the stuff I'm coming out of my mouth with is smartness, intelligence, or just retardedness. My feelings won't be hurt.
I'm sure Big Perry will be able to tell us when I see him next time.
And while I'm thinking about emails and everything, I do want to give a shout out because he is a faithful listener. And he doesn't email us, but anytime we talk about a topic that he has insight or, you know, hey, we human, we might make corrections, and he'll say, hey, it was actually this, that, or this, or that. It's Mario Tucker. Big shout out to our frat brother, Mario Tucker, who he didn't live in Birmingham, but he lives in the Birmingham area, region, because I don't know exactly where he lives, but big shout out to Mario Tucker. He listens every week, and we're going to continue talking about the Auburn game, but he brought up a point. In reading his text message, I'm assuming, and I think this is a pretty smartness assumption, that his wife works for the government. And, of course, the shutdown is affecting her and their household. He was giving me some tidbits, some facts, and after he had some insight, I'm like, man, that really sucks. You know, that blows. And I know we touched on that last week.
Right.
But like I said about my mother-in-law, she's kind of on her way out. She's kind of very secure financially. So, you know, it's hit or miss. But somebody like them, which I don't know their financial situation.
Yeah,
but,
we
you know,
count
they
their pocket.
They're young.
Right.
And, you know, they're counting on their checks to come in every month or every week or every other week. You know, it really sucks. And one day, Mario, I know you're going to be listening. Shoot me a text, man. We would love to have you on the show to talk more about sports and more about this situation since this is affecting you directly.
That's right. If the shutdown doesn't end this week, and we're prayerful that it will end this week, but if it doesn't end this week, Big O, we want to have you on the show next week, man. Holler at us. We want to have you on the show, man. Let's talk a little bit about some of the direct impacts to the government employees and how families are suffering on this thing, man. So what was the feel of Jeremy Johnson in the stadium and how did you think he played?
Well, to begin with, nobody wanted to blow the red shirt.
Yeah, I really didn't.
Yeah, and you and I talked about this a little off air, and I'm going to share it with the fans. You know, my mindset is, man, I just want not the fans, but just the listeners. On any situation, if you have a top recruit, somebody that you think is going to take you the next 3 or 4 years into the promised land, and you have a starting quarterback there now, but he might not be what you want, and you know the freshman is going to be the guy, but they've already redshirted him. Well, I'm thinking for the caliber of team that we played, which was the Little Sisters to the
poor.
East, I guess. To the poor, the East. I probably could have ran a Wildcat, and we probably could have beat Auburn. I mean, beat Western Carolina yesterday.
I concur.
And for us to so-called blow this gold mine that we think we're sitting on for Western Kentucky, I am just thinking that Nick Marshall's injury is more serious than what we thought, or it's more serious than what they're letting us know. If it was a one-game type of situation, we still had Wallace to play. We could have stuck Frazier back there, need be. That's me. I mean, we could have stuck Artis Payne or Grant and really just let them run the Wildcat. And looking at that team yesterday, we would have beat Western Kentucky with running the Wildcat every play.
I agree. Because they were not even on the same playing field as us.
No. So you have to think, like, and this is just my mindset. This is what I'm thinking. This is nothing confirmed. No inside knowledge. I'm just thinking if they're willing to blow this red shirt on a cupcake team, I'm thinking Nick Marshall going to be out more than just one, even two games. He's going to be out for a substantial period, because if it was only one game, we could have stuck somebody in there. They could have still did. Nick came back for Texas A&M.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking he's not going to be there for a while, because he is nursing a serious injury. And the thought was, because he's going to be out a substantial amount, we need to go ahead on and play this piece of gold that we have and see if it's going to blossom into a brick of gold. And I'm going to tell you, after watching what I saw yesterday, that thing blossoming, boy. And I will say this. He is not a running quarterback. He is not, you know, in the beginning of the year, I guess, I don't know if the coaches had to tell Nick, hey, you need to run the ball, and I guess that Ole Miss, he started, you know, you saw a little spurt of Cam Newton.
That's right, yeah.
Hey, I'm going to fake this thing, I'm going to take off. KJ ain't going to do that at all. That's just not going to happen. A few times what I saw, because his passes are very crisp, it's on a rope, and the analogy I use is anybody that has been to Hooters to eat, they know they have all those lines in there, those order lines. Yeah. I call it an order line. So when you give the lovely young waitress your order, she writes it down, of course. Then she sticks it on a little sticky thing or a little clamp and zip line that thing to the cook.
Smack it over to the cook.
And it's going straight there. It's not diverting or going no other direction. It's straight off that zip line. That's the way those passes were coming from JJ. And I like to call him JJ. It was zip, it was straight, it was precise. He had good body language in the pocket. His decisions were quick. He didn't fluster. And a couple times, and I'm sorry, I was just watching this.
I haven't said anything about the game. Yeah, I'm behind.
I'm watching live now.
Okay. I'll tell you, y'all boys, you holding in now.
Yeah, we close. Anyway,
it was right on the money. He was throwing it on the dime.
He was throwing it a couple times. What he did was, he would, I guess, roll out the pocket. It wouldn't have designed play just the way that the pocket kind of broke down a little bit. He would roll out the pocket, and he would fake as if he were going to run. And then the defense would commit to him, and then shoot! He'd shoot that thing into the end zone, touchdown. He did that once or twice. So toward the end of the game, they kind of figured, okay, he's not going to run. And once they didn't commit to him, he did look a little indecisive and like, okay, dude, you need to go ahead on a run. But as far as the accuracy, and for all listeners who are not Auburn fans, or who are Auburn fans who think, oh, look at the competition you played. Hey, we've had guys wide open against Ole Miss. We've had guys wide open against LSU. We've had guys wide open against Mississippi State, and the ball still didn't get there. What I'm saying is the guy was very accurate with open wide receivers, no matter who the competition was. And that alone made me very excited.
Well, like I said, I got a chance to see a couple of the highlights. I was watching, looking on my phone, after seeing we blew the boys out. And I was just a few highlights. The 67-yard pass or however long it was to Stevens was just – I mean, it was great. I mean, it was like you said, I mean, it was deep, it was there, but it was perfect. I mean, he hit him in stride.
Yeah.
And Nick has hit, you know – I think Ole Miss was the first game, and maybe the game before that, where he finally hit one or two people in stride. But still with Nick is throw six, hit one in stride. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That we'll eventually get one. But this was like his, you know, the first one out the gate where he tossed that bad boy, and it went deep. And, I mean, it was on the money. And I think that was there in the first or second quarter. So I would be interested to see, you know, whether or not how long I hope. And the reason why I didn't want to see him play was because, again, I do think I did want to keep it. I think he is the future. I did want to hold on to him. I wanted to hold on to the red shirt. Big Drake, y'all finna get this win. Wanted to hold on to the red shirt.
I'm kinking. I apologize. Everybody knows I'm from New Orleans. I'm a big Saints fan. My dad is a season ticket holder. This was the game of the week, the Saints versus the Patriots. It was a question of if the Saints could beat the Patriots, because everybody knows how well we play in the dome, but how bad we are on the road. We're going against the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. We were down 17-7 at halftime, and it may look like we might win this thing. I'm not, because there's still 2 minutes left. There's still 2 minutes and 14 seconds. It is Tom Brady. You still have the 2 minute warning. I'm not sure how many timeouts they have.
They have one timeout.
One timeout. Yeah, so they can stop the clock twice. They're gonna get on the field again.
Yeah, yeah.
but we just intercepted him. That's what we scored. We just intercepted him. So, okay. I'm sorry. Go. I'm excited.
I didn't want to burn his red shirt just because, again, I think in 3 years, meaning Gus Malzahn's third year, I think we have the makings for another championship run. I think we'll be competitive up to then. But Gus Malzahn's third year, our offensive line will all be seniors. They will all have been started since their true freshman year. Just like the year we won the championship, you have Jeremy Johnson. It will be his team no matter what Nick Marshall does or where he goes after that. The year number three will be Jeremy Johnson's team. I knew what talent he was. I think we seen Jonathan Ford play. It'll be his junior year. He's a beast. He's one of the fastest players on the team. All the makings, that third year is the year. And I think that'd be the year we continue with the number one recruiting class. All those things. So I didn't want to burn it because I didn't want Jeremy to come in, play a couple games, say, oh, man, I am great. I can't play at this level. I'm not going to sit behind somebody. I want to play now.
Yeah.
And decide to dip and go to UAB or something. You know what I'm saying? So that was my problem there. And so I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. I thought, Nick, I don't, as good as Jeremy played, I still don't think we win any more games because he's playing as opposed to Nick. I just don't. I think Nick still gives us the same opportunity to win the same games we would have won, be it Nick or Jeremy.
I would say, and you never know. And we're always playing the what-if game. That's why we do a show. That's why ESPN has a show, ABC, CBS, everybody else has a show. You're playing the what-if game.
Right.
But in saying that, I'm thinking Ole Miss, we would have really blown out. It wouldn't have kind of got close at the end. Mississippi State, we wouldn't have had to, quote-unquote, make that last-second drive and come back and win. And I'm thinking we would have been, not saying we would have won or what have you, I'm thinking we would have been a little bit more competitive against LSU. A couple of drives in LSU, we just needed better quarterback play. Now, the first half when you had Blind Goldilocks playing linebacker and was getting torched. Once they took him out, the defense kind of knuckled up a little bit and played better. And then we just wouldn't get consistent play out of our quarterback. So, not saying that we would have won. I'm just saying once the adjustments were made, if our quarterback had been a little bit more accurate, I'm thinking we would have been a little bit more competitive.
But the problem with that is, by the same token, how many plays did he keep alive because of his mobility? And with Jeremy sitting and wanting to throw the football, how many – is he going to be – I want to see him watch – Nick in his elusiveness to understand sometimes you have to use your athletic ability. Just use it. Don't wait and use it just to keep the play alive to get it downfield.
He did use it. And the only thing I would say, I mean, he wasn't just backed up as a sitting duck.
Okay.
Because, you know, we had that problem a couple of years ago when the quarterback would just sit.
And wait.
Now, Jeremy was not doing that.
Okay.
He was sitting back there taking sacks when it became available. So, I'm 100% if Gus came out tomorrow and said, Jeremy's going to be our starting quarterback for the rest of the season, I'm fine with it.
You good.
Off of one game. And I know people, oh, it's one game. Look at the, that's just the way I feel. that's the way from what I saw personally, I mean, just the way the ball was coming out the hand, I mean, I loved it. I really did. I loved it.
Move Nick Marshall to wide receiver.
Yeah.
Hey, I looked at the stats, I looked at some of the highlights, and I knew what we had. I knew what we had, bro. I knew who we had. All right, look, we're going to come on back, man. We're gonna put one more on. We're going to make some picks. Or you want to go and do the picks real quick? I mean, we went this long. We might as well. Let's do the picks, and then we'll come back, and we're going to hit some NFL talk. All right, so our picks for this week, man, some of the games, let me go down real quick and see what games we want to pick out. All right, so South Carolina and Tennessee was the first one to fluke against Georgia. They're at Knoxville.
I'm going to South Carolina.
You going to South Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah, they blew out what's comprehended. I'm going to take South Carolina, too. Arkansas and Alabama, it's at Tuscaloosa. Okay, not even a pick. not even really a pick. Georgia-Vanderbilt. Georgia just got knocked off. Missouri, and it's at Vanderbilt in Nashville.
From what the conversation that we had earlier, It's still Vandy.
Well, Georgia's definitely not Georgia, because I don't know if any player playing right now on their team is Georgia.
it's not Georgia, but it's still Vandy.
It's not Georgia, but it's still Vandy. All right, so there was another one that I wanted to see before we get to the big game. Florida, Missouri. We talked about this. It is in Columbia, Missouri. It's in Missouri. Florida comes into Missouri. Does Missouri stay undefeated as the only other undefeated team in the SEC?
No, just for the simple fact they lost their quarterback.
Okay. I don't like Will Muschamp. He's a defensive coordinator. I'm picking Missouri. I'm picking Missouri. The freshman looked all right. It's Matt Mark. And if I'm not mistaken, his brother, something Mark, I think, played for LSU. I think that's his brother. It could run in the family. Could just be another strong quarterback. And I think Pink will have the week to get him adjusted and ready to play football. Because he still led him to 2 scoring drives even after Georgia started coming back.
I'm that
unimpressed with Florida.
Wow.
That unimpressed with Florida. All right, man, we got 2 big games, Big Drake. Of course, our game will always be picked last. So, Florida State and Clemson. This is the week, baby, and it's at Clemson. Who you going with? Famous Jameis versus Dabo and the boys.
Just because of home field advantage?
Uh-huh.
I'm going with Clemson. That is the only reason.
Just because of home field advantage.
I think home field advantage really does weigh heavily in the team's performance.
Clemson is deemed Death Valley. Just like LSU. So the home field advantage is pretty significant in Clemson. But with that being said, I have continued to state Famous Jameis is the best player in NCAA football right now. And so I'm taking Famous Jameis over Dabo and saying Famous Jameis going to go in there and become famouser Jameiser.
Yeah.
as Famous Jameis is going to go in there and wreck shop, man. So I'm taking Florida State, man. All right, baby. It's it. Auburn, Texas A&M at College Station. 2-4-1 teams. Who you got?
Texas just lost.
Oh, boy.
5 seconds left.
I didn't even. That has to hurt. I'm sorry, Big Drake.
I don't know if I even
want
to finish the show.
Big Drake ain't going to want to finish taping now. Oh, are you serious?
5 seconds left. Tom Brady, boy. That's what I said.
Oh, my
Brady.
God. That was a heck of a catch.
What'd you say, man?
Tompkins. Who is this dude that made the catch?
Who knows?
Oh, that hurts. Oh, that hurts.
Well, let me say this. I hate when you this is what I said right before. I said I'm not going to say it's a win because they got 2 minutes and 14 seconds, and plus they had the 2-minute warning. It's like we didn't even try to get a first down. It was just run. I know you want to run the ball to make sure the play clock runs to call the time, to make them force to call the timeout. But if you get a first down, and then they can
it's
do
over. It. It's over.
Yeah. We just ran up the middle 3 times, and that was it. No, excuse me. We ran up the middle twice, and on third down and 10, we ran a bootleg with Drew Brees. Like he's going to outrun somebody.
But it looked like the objective was for him just to get to try to milk some clock off, to milk another 2 seconds off.
Yeah, that's stupid to me.
Yeah.
But I'm over it. I'm over
okay,
it. It's
right.
Not gonna ruin my day.
Auburn, Texas A&M.
I'm not one of them fans where I lost to ruin my day. I don't pick Auburn.
Oh, you're not picking, huh?
We never pick Auburn.
Oh, we don't pick the games? Oh.
Not Auburn.
we pick the ones that we know we're gonna win. All right, so the Auburn Texas A&M game is coming up. We're not picking that game, but we will go. I am going on record as saying we're going to score. It's going to be a good game.
Yes,
it's going to be a good game. So
I would agree with that.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. I don't understand why he ran out the end zone. Why not at least get a Hail Mary? A Hail Mary gives you a better shot. And I don't think anybody else on the team understand why he ran out the end zone either, because everybody was standing there looking at him. So, it's going to be a good game, man. We're going to get a shot, man. All right, so, look, sit tight. Come on back. We're going to give you – I know that was a long episode. That was one of our old episodes. That's how we used to do it, with 60 minutes long. It's all good, though. We wanted to wrap up and get all that college football in. We're going to come back. Last week, didn't give you in the NFL. We're going to come back. We're going to hit some of these NFL games, as it appears that most of them are all wrapped up now. So we're going to talk a little bit more. And, hey, so share with your folks, man. Tell your folks, man, hey, check out these boys. These boys is all the way live. They are fools, and they loves to get it in, because we do. We loves to get it in, man. It's your boy, Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Me a Radio Show. Come on back, man. This is a little more of that KB, boy.
Church mother in a church hat clap. Man, that sugar, every color purple coming back clap. When that whole week beat you up and stretch you, but you hear that organ playing and remind you of your blessings. And on another note, she just hit another note. Chills down my spine.